The landscape of Xbox Live Arcade is changing, but who does it really benefit? Plus, Konami has requested reviewers not mention negatives about the game. All that in your live calls and chat comments of on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of June 1st, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
We use different voices to sound cool and think like we're real radio people. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on All Games Radio, I want to welcome you. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in and chime in on anything. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156, probably in about 30 minutes. If you're listening to us on the podcast, you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the Skype line. Apparently, it's been turned off, and Ghost World finally sent me a message on Xbox Live saying, I can't leave a voicemail, I tried. And I looked, and apparently that checkbox was unchecked from in Skype, probably when I upgraded. So I apologize if you've been trying to leave a voicemail for the past couple weeks, because I didn't realize it was not on. Bad me. Yeah. So we do have a lot to talk about, and I did want to, you know, want to go right into it. I do want to kind of just revisit for about 2 minutes what we spent most of the show last week talking about, which was about the new rhythm action games. We're not going to be talking about them during the first part after this one little audio clip, because I have to play this audio clip. I usually don't play audio clips on the show. This was an audio clip, very short one, from the All Things Digital 6 conference. Now, basically, Activision CEO Bobby Kotick was on the stage with Kara Swisher and basically showing off their brand new game. And the beginning of this interview was quite hilarious to me. So this is from the All Things Digital 6 conference.
Kara asked us to ask me to bring a product that has never been shown before. So we decided we have a new product coming out in the fall called Guitar Hero World Tour, which is the first time you'll have multiple instruments, drums, mic, a bass, different
it's
guitar.
Called Rock Band, I think.
We're calling it Guitar Hero World Tour.
Okay. All right.
Good one, Kara. Thank you very much, Kara, for that. Basically after that, then they brought out Paula Abdul, who you really should not let go anywhere without her meds, pick random people in the audience, one of which happened to be Tony Hawk, to go up and play Are You Gonna Be My Way, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, one of the Lenny Kravitz song. I can't even remember the name of it right now. Are You Gonna Go My Way is what it was. Sorry. They played that, and they showed 4 seconds of gameplay, and it does look like Rock Band. So, but they're calling it Guitar Hero World Tour. Very good. I do hope to see it sometime. So, moving on to things that aren't so rhythmically inclined. We have a new highest-grossing debut of an Xbox Live Arcade title. Now, this came from VG Charts. They're saying that the Penny Arcade Adventures, Episode 1 on the rain-slick precipice of darkness, broke a year-long stranglehold on the highest-grossing debut, beating Worms HD out by $50,000 in the three-day opening. So, essentially, in its opening week, 16,502 units of Penny Arcade Adventures sold on the Xbox Live Marketplace, bringing in $330,048 in revenue. Penny Arcade Adventures breaking a lot of records. It was it broke the new size barrier. It broke the new price barrier. Castlevania, which grossed $240,000 in 3 days, was the game that broke the 50-megabyte barrier placed by Microsoft. So people are embracing the larger game sizes. Now, what some people are worried about is the fact that this is an Xbox Live Arcade title that is $20. And people are upset that the price barrier has gone up, and saying that, you know, this is the doom of Xbox Live Arcade, because, you know, obviously people were not adverse to paying $20 for a downloadable title, which is kind of funny considering that some of the people that are saying this are PS3 fanboys or things like that, where there are downloadable titles that are $39.99, $29.99. I mean, one of the first downloadable titles for the PS3 was, I think, Tekken Dark Resurrection, which was $20. And everybody was fine with that. Nobody was upset with that. And so finally, you know, there's a $20 title on the Xbox 360's downloadable service, and suddenly it's, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. But people are worried, and legitimately worried, that that now developers may think that they can charge $20 for a game that would have been maybe $10 before. And that's a legitimate concern. However, you know, we've already seen the precedent's been set somewhere else outside of the Xbox 360. You know, some people can say that, you know, there's more gameplay or more hours of gameplay in Penny Arcade Adventures than there was in Portal. And Portal was a $20 game, downloadable game from Steam, before you could buy it in retail, or you could get it with the orange box. But if you wanted to download it separately, you could do it via Steam for $20. And I was fine with that. Most people that I talked to were fine with that. But there are people that are boycotting Penny Arcade Adventures just because it's $20 and it's on the Xbox 360. And I think being able to charge $20 for a game may allow developers to spend more money on their game, maybe. So we may actually see some better quality titles. Unfortunately, they will be at the higher price point. You won't see a very high quality title at $5. You know, Geometry Wars Retro Evolved, notwithstanding, you know, you're not going to see that many really, really amazing titles at $5. You would have always seen them at $10. Or some of them would be at $15 if they were remake, you know, like the Res HD and stuff like that. So I just think this is kind of the natural evolution. Yeah, it's going to suck that we can actually now get $20 titles and they're going to charge $20 for them on Xbox Live Arcade, but you can already pay $20 for titles over, I believe, on WiiWare. I believe one of the games is $20 already. You can download titles on the PS3 that are $40. So I, you know, kind of see where people are coming from, and I'm kind of like, well, you know, Microsoft really needed to catch up, and in order to offer higher quality download titles, they need to allow developers to charge more. Seymour Booty says Penny Arcade Adventures was worth buying, in my humble opinion. I don't mind paying $20 for it. Sully907 says they can charge as much as it's worth, and if you don't think it's worth the price, don't buy it. It will drop to your budget eventually regardless. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, about dropping in price. He also continues, if it doesn't sell at its current price point, they'll be forced to drop the price. Consumer demand will always dictate these prices. And I guess, you know, one of the things to point out is that Penny Arcade Adventures is $20 across the board. You can buy it for $20 on Xbox 360, or it's $20 for the PC, Mac, or Linux versions. So, you know, it's not like you're getting screwed. I mean, if you would rather buy a $20 game for your PC, or if you're okay buying a $20 downloadable game for your PC, then get it on the PC if you're not really into it, getting it on the Xbox 360 with, you know, the DRM measures that are in place, which we're going to talk about in just a second. What Up G says, you know, just wait until the Grand Theft Auto 4 downloadable content comes out. There's already DLC out there that is quite expensive in compared to what it offers. You know, usually if it's like, you know, three maps charged for $10, you know, people will get up in arms about that. And I have no clue how much the GTA 4 stuff's going to cost if they're going to add whole cities. So that'll be interesting to see. So since people are already kind of talking in chat about this, I'm going to go ahead and move on to our next story, which is also about Xbox Live Arcade. And this was actually something that came out, I think, last week, and we just didn't cover it last week because I wanted to give it a little bit more time. And that's about Xbox Live Arcade delisting titles. So this was from an interview that Next Generation had. It was an exclusive interview with General Manager of Xbox Live, Mark Witten. So According to Winton, Xbox Live Arcade titles that have been out for more than 6 months have a Metacritic score of less than 65% and have a conversion rate of less than 6% will be eligible for delisting off of the Xbox Live Arcade service. Microsoft will give 3 months of notice before these titles are removed. So this obviously caused an uproar, and luckily Chris Palladino over at the Gamerscore blog posted a little bit of Q&A, kind of quelling some people's worst fears about it. So this was from Gamerscore blog after the Next Generation interview was published. So a conversion rate is when people download a trial Xbox Live Arcade game and then purchase the game, that's a conversion. So if less than 6% of all trials downloaded lead to full game purchases, that's one of the three criteria. The other criteria is being the Metacritic average, which is kind of weird in itself, actually giving critics the ability to determine if a game should still be on the shelf or not. That directly like that. And then, being out for more than 6 months. So they also ask, why are you delisting the games? And the answer here from Gamerscore blog is, we have a lot of Xbox Live Arcade titles on the service. By filtering out the lower performing games, it will actually make it easier to find the games you really want. Okay, then the next question, if you bought a game and deleted it, can you re-download it even if it's been delisted? And it says, yes, you can. What you need to do is you go to the download history under the account management section of the marketplace, and you'll be able to re-download the game. So the game code will actually still be on their servers. And then the last one is, can you still play it after it's been delisted about and also online and leaderboards? And the answer is yes. The game will function normally even after being delisted. You can continue to play the game single and multiplayer as well as use leaderboards as you normally would. Also not included in this Q&A, but I did read it somewhere else, is that you can actually still buy the game if you really wanted it, because I know, like, Texas Hold'em, which is a game that a lot of us play in the all-games community, is one of the games that's below the 65% Metacritic score, and I actually have a list down here that I'll go through. But if you didn't buy it, and it gets delisted, which I kind of doubt, because it's got a pretty high conversion rate, because it was free for 48 hours, what you would have to do is you'd have to get somebody on your friends list that already bought the game, that owns the game. They can use the tell a friend feature that's on the when you go in the game library and you select the game, you can use the tell a friend. Then they can purchase the game if that person who owns the game tells you about the game, and then you would be able to purchase it. So that's how you can get that. So you can actually still buy the game. So really all they're doing is they're doing kind of like what GameStop does, and they take it off the shelf. However, what some people are upset about is that they're just taking it off the shelf. Usually when GameStop or any store really wants to get rid of games off the shelf, they put it into a clearance bin. They lower the price. They're not doing that here. So, Hardwood Hearts, which was $15 for some strange reason, is going to be just taken off the shelf instead of having the price lowered to $10 or $5 because it's been underperforming. And some people don't like that. Some people would rather see a price cut, or maybe, if you can spend $10 to get three games that are supposed to be delisted. So here's some of the games that meet one of the three criteria. We do not know, or actually I think this may be two of the three criteria, because you can tell if they've been out for longer than 6 months. But we don't know the conversion rates. Now here's some of the games. Crystal Quest, Speedball 2, Hardwood Hearts, Texas Hold'em, Fatal Fury Special, Contra, Marathon Durandal, Missile Command, Time Pilot, Track and Field, Hardwood Backgammon, Hardwood Spades, Pac-Man, not Championship Edition, that's the normal original Pac-Man, Frogger, Mad Tracks, Root Beer Tapper, Super Contra, Geon Emotions, Soltrio Solitaire, Arcadian Warriors, T-Call, Russian Attack, Defender, Double Dragon, Xevious, Gyrus, Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe, Battlestar Galactica, Centipede and Millipede, Spyglass Board Games, Tetris Splash, Echo the Dolphin, Yar Kung Fu, Wing Commander Arena, Novadrome, Shrek and Roll, Scramble, Tempest, Street Trace, New York City, Word Puzzle, New Rally X, Cyberball 2072, and Screw Jumper. So those are the games, according to Joystick, that have less than a 65% average on Metacritic. And I do hear that Space Giraffe has 68%, therefore it is safe. So, but basically, they're going to be taken off the shelf. And, some of those I might have actually been interested in if they weren't $15, maybe, like the Hardwood games. So, some people are saying that, you know, this was not really the best way. Now, Microsoft obviously is saying, well, it's going to be easier for you to find the better games if we remove the underperforming ones off the shelf and rotate them out. I know that cell phone providers, wireless providers, do this with their games, but it's more because there is a lack of space on their servers to be able to have the games. And, you know, once they delist a game off of their service, be it like Verizon's Get It Now or whatever, you can't re-download it. You know, it's just, it's on your phone forever. And if you get a new phone, you probably won't be able to get it again. You'd lose the game. You know, and it's not really just underperforming stuff, like some really good mobile games. Like, I bet you can't download Doom RPG anymore on your cell phone because it was a game that came out. It was actually John Carmack made, got really into mobile development and actually made this Doom RPG using the Doom engine, but it was a turn-based type RPG, kind of like Bard's Tale. With, like, the original Doom sounds, it even played the Doom theme song through your cell phone. You can't get that anymore because it's just old. And they had to rotate it out because they have limited shelf space, be it because of memory on the cell phone to be able to download all the titles and stuff. You know, so cell phone providers have been doing this for a while. And, you know, now Xbox Live Arcade is doing it because people are saying there's too much crap on there. You know, we talked all about the M Plus developers saying there's too much crap on Xbox Live, there's too much noise, and so now they're going to say we're going to remove some of the noise. Geekboy2424 says they should have the user's rate, and then if it has enough high ratings, it should not be taken off. Seymour Booty says the most hilarious thing about this is the two games they released last week on Xbox Live probably won't be available in 6 months. Seymour Booty says that Doom RPG, pretty awesome. It was my favorite cell phone game of all time. I loved it, and unfortunately the cell phone, I actually kept the cell phone around that had it on it, even though I had switched to another provider, and so it didn't really work. It didn't make calls, but I could still play Doom RPG on it, and I can't, the cell phone doesn't work anymore. I can't hook it up to the plug. The plugs inside are broken. Binary 667 says a better option would be letting the XNA members vote, much like they are doing with the XNA games. You know, there's a peer review system, I think, you know, and Nintendo actually is doing this as well with the Wii games. They're not letting you give a rating on really, but they're saying, or yeah, you can actually like have a little slider, so it's not like a star rating, but you know, in the Nintendo channel, if you've played a game for longer than an hour, that you can actually rate it and say who this is for and things like that. So, you know, the ability to do it is there, but you know, I guess they're also going by actual sales. You know, the magic key that we really don't know is this conversion rate, if it's over 6%, because if less than 6% of the people who download the demo buy it, then it's probably not going to be rated that high because not many people bought it. And also that the conversion rate thing is why I don't think like Texas Hold'em is going to be delisted and some of these others, because they did have a high conversion rate, especially because they were free. Tiger Claw says, what if you have the trial version of a game that was delisted? Can you still buy it from the trial version? Has the option to purchase the full game? I would think yes, because like I said, the game is not being removed from their servers. It's still going to be accessible. It's still going to be playable. They're still going to update the leaderboards and all that stuff. So I would think, yeah, if you actually keep the trial version on your hard drive and later on you want to buy it, then you'll be able to. But if you're going to have the trial game on your hard drive, you probably would have bought it before it actually got delisted, because they're going to give you 3 months' notice. And it will also be interesting to see if any of these games actually hop above the 6% conversion rate when they're going to be delisted. So we're going to move on. You will be able to call in a little bit later and you talk about Xbox Live woes or happiness or what you think on this. We're going to turn to the PlayStation 3 because this is actually a programming topic that I actually know a little bit about, ironically enough, because I actually work with this specific thing that they're doing at my day job. And it's about the PlayStation 3 and their integration with YouTube. Now, this came from a blog posting on the YouTube API site, and it says that they're happy to announce the PlayStation 3 has integrated the YouTube APIs to allow game developers to create games that enable direct upload of in-game video captures to YouTube. This YouTube upload functionality can be incorporated not only into new PS3 game titles, but also existing PS3 game titles that have the ability to receive network updates. Sony Computer Entertainment has added YouTube functionality to Mainichi Isho, a popular game with PS3 users in Japan. Gamers will now be able to upload their in-game video captures to YouTube. We're excited at this opportunity that this presents and look forward to more and more games to be enhanced with YouTube. How many more times can they say YouTube in one paragraph? Let's look at the second paragraph, see how many times they say YouTube. The YouTube, ding, APIs are available to all developers, and we hope that game developers everywhere will use the YouTube, ding, APIs to make a video an integral part of their game experience. Whether it's showing off that fantastic touchdown pass, car slide, or karaoke sing-along, we hope that more user-generated content from games will make their way to YouTube, ding, and connect with the gamer community. So, okay, only three times in the second paragraph. I think they got their name out. By the way, this is on YouTube, just in case you didn't figure that out. Anyway, the YouTube API, basically YouTube created an upload API earlier this year. I want to say in like February or March it came out, because at my day job, which has absolutely nothing to do with video games, we've actually been waiting for the feature because we wanted to have some kind of automatic uploading to YouTube. And believe me when I say that uploading a video to YouTube using, and this is just using PHP, which is, you know, what a lot of websites use as their programming language. That's server side programming language, not the client side like what you would have on your browser. But on the server side, it's literally about 10 to 15 lines of PHP code to upload a video to YouTube. So it's not brain science or brain chemistry or rocket science, and yeah, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to be able to do this. I'm mixing my metaphors, excuse me. So, essentially what this is saying is that Sony has, in their latest version of the PlayStation 3 SDK, has created a wrapper to do these 10 to 15 lines of YouTube coding into the API. So it even makes it simpler for game developers to add maybe, you know, one or two lines of code to be able to upload to YouTube, which is great. And a lot of people I've been the reason I'm bringing this up is because a lot of people are saying, see, this is why the PlayStation 3 is great. They can do all this stuff. The Xbox 360 and the Wii can't do it. It's just XML. Now, I mean, granted, there is the PHP wrapper, but at the heart of it, it's just an XML file that you're sending to using the Google API over to their servers. So this is actually good because this will kickstart it, and yeah, the PlayStation 3 will be the first time that you'll see it. However, it would not take very long for, you know, a game company. It'd probably take them, you know, maybe half a day to a day to be able to just use the straight YouTube API in an Xbox 360 title or a Wii title, you know, or you know, even on the PC. You know, there are programs that will do that, that people have made. You know, like I said, I've created stuff that uploads to YouTube. It's really not that difficult. So, you know, this is going to be kind of cool that, you know, and it's not great that, you know, Sony has kickstarted it, but it's not something that you can go around and say, see, this is why the PS3 is great and the others aren't, because it's extremely possible for it to be done on the Xbox 360. I could probably create an XNA game that does it, that would run on the PC. Unfortunately, you don't actually have access to the internet when writing an XNA game. They've got a little sandbox, so you can't actually talk out. You can talk to other games on Xbox Live, but you can't access a web page. But I think the full SDK will allow them to have a basic socket connection to a website, and that's really all you need. You're just sending XML back and forth with Google. An update, Seymour Booty says, I just checked on my new phone. Verizon still has Doom RPG for $8. I'm not going to get it again, though. But if you have Verizon and your phone has Doom RPG on it, it is actually a really... It's surprisingly good. It's a surprisingly good cell phone game. What if G does bring a good point? He's like, how many times do I go to YouTube and they take down game footage? It's really up to the developer. Like, YouTube only takes down they only take down copyrighted content from copyright holders that actually tell them about it. That's why when you look at a video, it will say this video was taken down due to a copyright claim from Take-Two Interactive Software, or, you know, things like that. I would assume that if a game puts the YouTube API code in their game, I think they'd be okay with you posting it to YouTube, and I don't think they're going to put a copyright claim on it. But yeah, I mean, there are game companies out there like Take-Two that will take down copyright you know, claim copyright infringement and take down the video off of YouTube. But they actually have to initiate it and say that for YouTube. Tiger Claw says that's interesting, but YouTube typically only allows you to upload videos that's 9 minutes or less. And that's true. And I would think that, you know, when it's creating these clips, they're not going to create long, huge clips because it does take some time to upload whatever it's going to do to YouTube. It probably, there probably is some stuff in the SDK that creates an FLV file or something that would then send it up to YouTube and try to compress it enough to make it be just like YouTube. So there's a little bit, there's less stuff that has to go on over the internet connection. But, you know, I think that, you know, they would be observant of the 10-minute length and the file size limit and stuff like that. So I'm going to go ahead and continue on because some people are even talking about this because they were making fun of the cutscenes in Metal Gear Solid 4 and say you could upload them to YouTube, but you can only upload 10 minutes worth. MTV Multiplayer Blog has been, and I know it's MTV, guys, but really, if you really want a good, you know, very mature, surprisingly, and very informative blog about gaming, you know, obviously along with game politics, which is I really love, you really ought to subscribe to MTV Multiplayer because Steven Totillo and his staff do a really good job. And they've actually been looking at a lot of things about reviewers lately. And this one is about actually Metal Gear Solid 4. Now, they posted earlier that, you know, while reporting on the week-long series about game reviews, which they're doing this week, you can go check it out, Steven Totillo has heard from members of the gaming press about restrictions publishers place on game reviews. Now, and he says that he's familiar with some of these. It's common for a publisher to specify plot details that they don't want revealed in the reviews. And I, you know, for the record, I think that's quite all right. I think it's okay if they don't want, you know, a plot twist revealed in the review. That's perfectly reasonable. I am on board with that. You know, I've been asked that. Okay. Now, print reviews for Metal Gear Solid 4 were different. Now, Steven said that he's been told by two gaming media sources who asked to remain anonymous that Konami's representatives have been asking print reviewers to keep some technical details out of their reviews, namely the length of the game's cutscenes and the size of the game's installation on the PlayStation 3. Such details wouldn't have been plot spoilers, but perhaps the publisher was concerned that they would be viewed as negatives. Konami representatives declined to comment on any of this, as did editors of a few major video game magazines. A couple of weeks ago, Kotaku posted back-to-back links about the two supposedly off-limit topics. The size of the game's installation was spotted on the box, which is 4.6 gigs. That's what's listed on the box. And the other was a disputed report about the length of the cutscenes, which one source says 90 minutes, and somebody else says, I think that's an exaggeration, but they didn't actually say how long it would be. So the technical information, accurate or not, is getting out there, and that information about the game has been acknowledged by Eurogamer, which ran a Metal Gear Solid 4 review that mentions both things. And they don't give numbers or anything, but in the Eurogamer review, they do actually say that there is installation times throughout the game, and then also, you know, that there are long cutscenes. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much it really winds up being, because from what I'm understanding is that there are multiple installs that it makes. So it doesn't install everything at once. Like, I think it goes like by axe or something like that. But technical information like that, people might want to know. You know, honestly, I mean, if there are long cutscenes, I would want to know about that. Some people like long cutscenes. You know, I don't mind Xenosaga. You know, I'll go and, you know, make some dinner or something, and or make some lunch when I was playing Xenosaga, and, you know, I'd come back and just, you know, eat lunch during the cutscenes. You know, and it'd be good, you know, 10, 15 minute long cutscenes. You know, there's two save points in the middle, just in case, you know, I needed to go do something. But, you know, some people don't mind a good story. Sully907 says, I'm sure the game will be amazing for fans of the series. One of Edge's complaints, Edge, another gaming magazine, was that the story was convoluted, which is only true if you haven't followed the plot of the other games. I think all the Metal Gear Solid games have convoluted plots. That's kind of a staple of the series. Sully907 says, apparently there will be short 3 to 5 minute installations before each act of the game instead of one large install up front. So, instead, I wish they would give you an option, because maybe you can actually say, here, install the game, I'm going to walk away for an hour. It's all because the Blu-ray drive is just too slow for seek times, and the fact I think that Kojima, Hideo Kojima, does not want to have any compressed textures, so there's no compression in Metal Gear Solid 4, and I think that's also part of the install process, because uncompressed textures take a while to load off of a Blu-ray disc. So, one last thing before our quick music break. I do want to say that it's looking like I will, luckily, be able to go to E3. Luckily, there is a company that is attending E3 that will be adding me to their list. So, I'm very grateful for that, and I will be able to go and see things. Hopefully, Activision will do something with that Guitar Hero World Tour outside of E3, because I know they're not attending E3. But I do want to say, you know, it'll be my 12th E3, and I really like the, I know that E3 is smaller and there's companies that aren't going to be there. LucasArts not going to be there, NCSoft's not going to be there, Activision and Vivendi aren't going to be there because they're merging, and I guess they're trying to cut costs and or stuff, or I think they're still going to be in LA or something. So it's going to be a much smaller event even than was last year, but without the traffic. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing people because I didn't get to go to GDC. So nothing's finalized yet, unfortunately. I haven't gotten the actual invite. I've just had the talk with their PR people. Actually, Lawrence has been working on it, and he's had the talk with them. So hopefully, if you wind up, if you're going to E3, if you're one of the lucky few of us who gets invited, look for us. We'll be there. In completely unrelated news, Fallout 3, it's a 13.5 out of 10. I urge everybody to buy it on launch day, and buy it for all the systems. Even if you don't have a PlayStation 3, buy the PlayStation 3 version on day one. Go ahead and pre-order it and stuff. Fallout 3, 13.5 out of 10. It's amazing. We're going to take our quick music break, and then we'll be back with your phone calls. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio. Online at allgames.com.
Hi, this is Krispy Kreme from the OL Army, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Okay. Hello to all my friends in the OL Army. Patiently waiting for Orange Lounge Radio to come on after the show. We will hear more from the OLR crew out in Sacramento in about 20 minutes. But right now I'm going to open up the calls for you. For you to call in and talk about anything that's going on in the gaming industry that you want to talk about. Doesn't have to be about what I just talked about tonight. It can be about anything. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word on Skype or toll free in the United States and Canada, I believe. 1-866 880-0156. And I do want to thank Krispy Kreme for that bumper. You can leave a voicemail. Now that I have turned back on, you can leave a voicemail, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, saying whatever you want about coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, and I will put music behind it and play it on the air. So we do have a call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. Sully907.
Sully907, what is on your mind?
I wanted to talk about the MGS4 reviews issue there. I want to actually give a lot of credit to 1UP. In the most recent issue of EGM, they were initially going to have a review for Metal Gear 4, but they mentioned those restrictions that Konami was placing on different reviewers. Mm-hmm. And so they're waiting until, I assume, after the release to review the game.
Yeah, and that's actually something else that was in that MTV multiplayer blog in the sessions before it when they were looking at reviews, is that I think it was Nintendo. I mean, so it's not just Konami that does this, but Nintendo, when the Wii launched, somebody had asked Nintendo, hey, when can we post our review? And they say, well, if it's over 9.0, you can post it now, but if it's lower than that, please wait until after the game launches. And so they panned the game, so they had to wait and post the review later. But yeah, I mean, I've seen that, you know, that they do that, and it's still a remnant of the publishers are used to controlling the press, controlling the media outlets, and, you know, they're trying to hold on to that as much as they can, even in the online age, you know, when stuff gets out really quickly, and some people don't really care.
So do you think it's safe to assume that all the reviews we've seen so far are by publications that agreed to Konami's terms?
Possibly. Now, I think the one that that was referenced in this article, which was Eurogamer, in their review, they actually did acknowledge that there were... They didn't say the size or the length of the cutscenes, but they did actually mention that there were long cutscenes and there was a large install time. But, yeah, I think that every print magazine review probably has agreed to these terms.
I was looking at the Edge review of Metal Gear 4, and they gave it an 8, you know, which really didn't bother me. I mean, I'm a fan of the series. I'm going to get it. And, you know, I recognize how harsh they are, and they actually gave Bioshock and Gears 8s as well. So I think their review doesn't say so much that Metal Gear is a disappointment, more than it says a game like Grid, which got a 9, is actually fantastic.
Yeah, and it's really just depends on the reviewer. You know, I don't think that Konami was actually saying, you know, hey, if you don't like our game, don't post the review. I think they were just saying, hey, keep some of the technical stuff down. Maybe because, you know, I guess investors or something, they didn't want investors to think that there was negative things about the game. You know, because, you know, people who aren't into gaming, if they hear long cutscenes and, you know, large install times, they will actually know that that's probably not a good thing, whereas, you know, maybe some other complaints about the game probably wouldn't register with them all that much.
And I am aware about the speed deficiencies of the Blu-ray discs caused installs. Are the game installs, do you think this might be something that goes away? Is that something that can be managed if the processor speed is used better, or is this something that's just a disk-based thing and you think the installations are here to stay?
It's, unfortunately, with the PS3, it's actually a physical issue. It is the physical ability of the laser to read the data off of the Blu-ray disc. So there's nothing you can really do about processor speed. You know, I mean, there may be some, you know, ingenious way to cache it, if they, you know, work with more of the processors to kind of lower the install. But right now, you know, the quick and easy fix is, hey, install a bunch of data to the hard drive and, you know, read it from there at a faster rate. That's the quick fix now.
I'm not a programmer, but I've heard another thing that they do is they store redundant data on the Blu-ray disc so that it can read, you know, data that it needs to display multiple times. It can read that faster because it's stored several times on the disc. But obviously, if you want to do uncompressed everything like Metal Gear is doing, you probably don't have the space for that.
Right. Well, and actually, another trick that was actually used back in the Dreamcast days, because the way that Dreamcast discs were done, and I'm not too sure if this is... this is different from the way like normal CDs are, but the way the Dreamcast games were is that they had... they read from the out-in, I believe. And basically, the data that's closer to the center of the disk can be read faster because the laser has to travel less rather than data on the outside of the disk. So they would actually pad the disk so there was no data or no real needed data closer to the edge of the disk. But the more the data... it could actually read faster, kind of like on a racetrack. If you're on the inside circle of a racetrack, you can go around faster than if you're on the outside part of the racetrack. Same kind of deal. And so there are tricks like that, but, you know, when you're working with huge files and you need them in a very quick manner, you know, it's still, you know, the hard drive way, hard drive RPMs are much quicker than the Blu-ray drives at the moment.
Yeah, it just seems like such a strange problem to me, because you'll see these games come out now that have these installations, but then you'll see a game like Uncharted, which looks fantastic, and that game doesn't have an installation at all. So, looks like it's here to stay, though.
Yeah, I mean, how much is the load times for Uncharted? I haven't played the retail version, just the demo.
Nearly non-existent, you know, a second or two per load time.
Yeah, so they may be doing something, you know, with caching it. And stuff, and you know, but you know, a lot of developers when they're trying to, you know, especially if they're trying to port a game, or not just port it, but make it for multiple systems, it may just be a simpler solution for them to just have it installed to the hard drive, and that way they can use more of the code in multi-platform, you know, than something that's, you know, specifically like, you know, I think the Uncharted developers were working on it for years and knew about the Blu-ray deficiencies in terms of speed and were able to work around it. And but they probably did a lot of compressed textures, and they probably do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to kind of offset the disk speed. Whereas, you know, with uncompressed textures, the way that Kojima is doing it, and he's basically taking up the entire Blu-ray, there's not much they can do but have it install. I don't think they really have a choice.
Now, what kind of things can you store on the hard drive that would help speed up the loading? Is it just like general stuff, like art assets, or can they literally store entire chunks of the game? How does that work?
It depends. Like, I don't know exactly how Metal Gear Solid is going to be doing it, but I know like Oblivion used a cache as well. And what Oblivion would do would when you went into an area, it would load a little bit quicker, or would load slower the first time you went into the area, and it would save that stuff to the hard drive. Now, obviously, there's, you know, it can store, you know, like game UI elements, things that you're going to see all the time on there, and maybe even the textures, like the generic textures, and then all it would load off of the Blu-ray disc would be the 3D geometry of the world, and then get the textures off the hard drive instead of loading each texture individually. And then, you know, like voice acting would be loaded off the Blu-ray drive, and, you know, things like that. But it really depends on how their workflow is. And unfortunately, not knowing how that is, I really don't know what exactly that they're going to be doing. But usually it's just generic stuff that it would need over and over and over and over and over again is what you put on the hard drive. And then the stuff like a cutscene, you'd just keep that on the disc and read it straight from the disc.
Oh, good stuff. Just one more question. Do you know if we're going to be able to save in the middle of the Metal Gear cutscenes? Because I love the cutscenes personally, but it would be nice to, you know I can save like Xenosaga if I want to.
Well, Xenosaga, you couldn't save in the middle of a cutscene. There were actually breaks in the cutscene, and it would let you save, and then it would load it. Like, there, it's like pretty early in the game. There would be a cutscene. It's about 5 to 10 minutes long, and then it would say, "Would you like to save?" Yes. Then there's another cutscene that's about 5 to 10 minutes long, and then after that it says, "Would you like to save?" Yes. And then another 5 to 10 minute cutscene, and then it actually drops you back into the gameplay, which is why I always bring up Xenosaga, and that's actually pretty early on. That's like in hour 4 of the game is when that happens. But I don't know if they're going to let you actually pause the cutscene and save it right there or not. So I don't know.
I think Metal Gear 2, I just got done playing through that again. I think that did something similar to what you're talking about, where there would be a cutscene, and then it would let you save, and then it would start up a new one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they do that with Metal Gear 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so that stuff that, obviously, because I guess Konami has asked reviewers not to talk about the length of the cutscenes, they can't talk about that. So that's something you'll have to wait until the game comes out, but you're going to buy it anyway, so who cares what a reviewer thinks, right?
Exactly. All right.
Thanks for your call.
Answering the questions, Bobby. Yep.
Thanks you for your call. I appreciate it. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. See, I actually feel smart. I feel like a brain scientist, rocket surgeon stuff. So we do have another call on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hello, Bobby. It's Derek H. from Virginia Beach.
Derek H., what is on your mind?
Actually, I'm very upset with you, Bobby.
What did I do this time?
Not only with you, but with the entire, I'm going to call it the gaming news industry.
Okay.
That's out now. Mm-hmm. How dare any of these websites, reviewers, game news people put the word news at all inside their titles when they are basically being spoon-fed information by corporations? And not only that, the companies are now telling them what they can and cannot write. And instead of stepping back and saying, no, you can't tell us what to do, they sit there and do it. And not only that, there should be like a big expose about this, but nobody cares. No, people should be calling up Konami and saying, please explain yourselves why you think you're allowed to do this. But instead, people just act like it's the norm. And it's not the norm. You don't see Ford going around telling car and driver, please don't mention that the Escort blows up if you drive over 150 miles an hour. That never happens in other industries. But for some reason, these game news sites, which aren't really even news sites, they're basically just RSS feeds for press releases nowadays. These gaming news sites are being controlled by the companies that they're supposedly reporting on, and that's unfathomable to me.
Well, I mean, have you actually paid attention to the news sites? Because, I mean, you know, like, okay, not news sites, gaming websites. How about I say that?
There you go.
Okay, how about, like, the gaming website MTV, the multiplayer, which is a blog, yes, but they actually did try to contact Konami, and Konami's like, no, we're not going to talk about it. You know, because they did try, they are kind of doing this expose on the game reviews and, you know, the, what the publishers, the things that the publishers say to reviewers and do for reviewers, you know, to swing the news, you know, towards them. And, you know, obviously Kotaku, another gaming website, you know, got blacklisted by Sony a year ago, a year and a half ago, because they posted a rumor that Sony didn't want posted and got, you know, there was the big, you know, oh, we're never going to, you know, give you Christmas cards again and all that stuff. And they got it worked out. But, you know, that was, they did a big expose on that. So I'm not, you know, I don't think it's fair to say that everybody has stayed silent and let this happen. There are specific instances of people calling these companies out and saying, no, that's not right.
How bad is it when MTV is the place that's actually outing everybody? That's the site. We have to look toward MTV gaming site now for honest reporting in the game industry. That's disgusting to me.
Well, and it shocks the hell out of me because, I mean, but, I mean, Stephen Totilo is, you know, pretty respected. I mean, he's, you know, right up there with, you know, like N'Guy Kroll from Newsweek, who I think N'Guy should be doing more of this type of stuff. And I think he does sometimes. I haven't checked his sites lately. But, you know, Stephen Totilo's right up there with N'Guy Kroll in terms of respectability. Now, granted, yes, he works for MTV, which is kind of weird. But, you know, I think the quality of what I've seen on the multiplayer blog kind of says, you know, yeah, it's MTV. But the content there says it's worth reading and it's worth paying attention to.
I discount everything that MTV gaming site says because MTV themselves are a gaming company. They're the ones, I believe, that put out Guitar Hero or Rock Band or whatever. They put out one of those Simon games.
Right, Rock Band.
So they have their own gaming company. How can people look to them for news? It's like, you know, I'm going to the Sega news site to get all my gaming news from now on. I don't agree with that at all.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can't argue with that. You know, because I look at what they've done, and yes, there were posts on the multiplayer blog that, you know, they got exclusive access to Rock Band. Of course they got exclusive access to Rock Band. It's their company. But, you know, some of the other stuff that they're saying is, you know, it makes sense, and it's, you know, some very good reporting on there. And it is kind of a shame that it's tied to MTV because people like you aren't going to pay attention to them even when they do something good for, you know, what can be called gaming journalism, if you want to call it that or not, you know, but they're doing some good stuff, and it is a shame that some people are going to discount them just because they're MTV or because they, you know, MTV's, another division of MTV owns a game development studio. And that's, they just got to work through that, and I think they just got to do that by their actions.
The last time I saw something resembling game journalism was when Hard OCP actually went in, started looking up stuff as when they were trying to track down what happened to the Phantom game system.
Yeah, the Infinium Labs things, yeah.
Yeah, they actually send people out there. They had pictures and, like, called and interviews and stuff. That's the only place I saw that. When Xbox 360 started blowing up left and right, nobody went down to the factory to see what's going on or if Microsoft saying was actually true. Or this whole, the whole thing about the Blu-rays can't read data fast enough. Like, people are just taking Sony's word for it. Let's get like a independent scientist or something to tell me that's why these games have to be loaded up and not just because that Konami's being lazy, because that's what I think. I think Konami's just being lazy, to tell you the truth. But that's, you know, I don't want to sit here and say negative stuff all the time. Can I plug my show, Bobby Blackwell?
You sure can.
Dead Pixel Live Monday through Thursdays after All Games Interactive.
Thank you very much, Derek.
Thanks, Bobby. Good show.
Thank you very much. So that is it. That was the last call that I'm going to take tonight. Coming up next year on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, done out of Sacramento, California. We're going to be trying to talk to them right now. We're going to see if are you guys over there right now, Orange Lounge Radio?
Hello. Yes, we are, Bobby Blackwolf. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, but I have some bad news, Bobby.
Okay.
I just got a report, and I have some really bad news if you're a fan of Under Sedation Live. The problem with Under Sedation Live is that they have scored less than 65% on Metacritic, and they are not selling through 6% of the audience. So they are being delisted from AllGames.com next week.
This is absolutely true. You know, it's just the critics didn't like them, and they thought it was too off-topic.
We have to take them off the shelf completely. We weren't able to lower the price of their show. They didn't want to negotiate, so the hell with them.
See you, Travis. Bye, DMN. Nice knowing you.
All right, yeah, obviously we made that up. But right. But what an interesting story that whole thing turned out to be, huh?
Yeah. So, the delisting thing, I mean, I don't understand why they can't just put them on clearance or stuff, because they're not getting rid of the code. But
But you did make a good comparison to cell phones, because, you know, games will disappear from cell phones, you know, without a moment's notice. But you can't earn achievements from cell phones. That's the difference here. I cannot increase my EPIN from a cell phone game.
And you were supposed to. Live Anywhere was supposed to be out in 2007.
Well, that's true. And, you know, if you're really playing a cell phone game anyways, it kind of, you know, decreases your EPIN right there.
I hate you,
it's
Lucky.
Not really gaming. It's a distraction.
What?
Would you say cell phone games increase your E? Never mind. I'm not gonna. Bobby's a family show. I'm not gonna get into it.
No.
Her E genitals.
Yes. No.
No. The answer is no.
So, what are you guys gonna be talking about tonight?
Tonight's show, we will probably not be talking about the Xbox delisting thing, because we just did. We talked about it here. We'll be talking about a variety of news. It's a surprising amount of PlayStation news this week, especially the rumors about the 2.4 firmware upgrade, that they're going to be getting trophies in there.
Ooh.
And an event soon coming to home. It's coming from a third-party company, Ubisoft, and then we have a lot of Nintendo news as well coming in Part B of tonight's show, including a brand-new Portal homebrew that was made for the DS. And this is my favorite. Apparently, the DS is now going to teach you how to stop smoking.
Yeah, I heard about this.
So we'll be definitely talking about that, and you have a couple hosts here on Orange Lounge Radio who have stopped smoking previously, so we'll chat about if a game can actually do that for you or not.
Are they going to put the patch like and have it go through the GBA slot or something? Is that the way it's going to work?
I somehow doubt it. It's an interesting idea, don't get me wrong, but it's I don't know. I just really hope they're not trying to capitalize on something that really shouldn't be capitalized on. If you know what I mean, a vulnerable audience.
They make TV shows about that.
Yeah. So, anyhow, tune in to Orange Lounge Radio tonight here on allgames.com right after Bobby flips the switch. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah, and just so people know, if you did download a demo of Under Sedation Live, I'm sorry, we're actually pulling it off and you won't be able to download it later.
Yep, it's gone forever.
Gone forever. Thank you very much. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can listen to the podcast, or you can just stay tuned right here to All Games Radio. They will be starting up in a little bit. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So join us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail. It works now. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Or you can leave us a bumper, just like Krispy Kreme did earlier. Email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com or join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in the community. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. AGN, Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, Tedekin, The Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Fifth Dream, Funnydale, Mako, Maximilian, Mr. Elusive, Reffy, Seymour Booty, The Matrix, TH Clay, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wyland, Rage, Act Def, Alpha Cananagram, Amaze Satsuma, Andy Cakes, RFX, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Camel Pope, CCPPC, Channel Z, Chiodos Fan, Xita Bria, Dark AX, Dark Tetsuya, De Rocketeer, De Blue Guy, Decipher, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, DMN, Fang, Firecube, Gaudy, Geekboy 2424, Glenn Coffin, Glitch 720, Gold Banjo, Grave, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Pew for Pew, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hitstun, Indo, Jammer J, Jillio, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kulex, Elfrost, Mecha, New Shiny CD, Nick Ferg, Pandalicious, Punchy, Rick and Elite, Richie Manic, Shadows Liar, Sounds, Squaggle, SSJ 100 Matt, Stalin 8 Lenin, that's kind of interesting, Stone Cold Freak 1, Subzy, Sully 907, TDB30, The Analingus Bandit, TM95, Valerno, VXJSNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. So that is it. Remember, Fallout 3 is amazing, I swear. Please come through and let me into E3. I'll see you guys next week. Bye. Don't delist me.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Different guitar.
Called Rock Band, I think.
We're calling it Guitar Hero World Tour.
Okay. All right.